Ashley has been introduced here now a couple of times, so Ashley is indeed is the program manager in Ann Arbor and probably can answer more of your operational questions than anybody here.
Well, good morning. That was quite the introduction from Dr. Park. Like he said, my name's Ashley. I'm from Mott Children's Hospital, and I am their program manager for the children's surgery program. Are there any program managers in the room right now? Just curious. No. Okay. So hopefully this information will be valuable for you to take back, and to, if you have a program manager, please share that with them. And if not, hopefully you find this helpful as you're onboarding and hiring your program manager. So I do not have any disclosures. Like John said, we are a level one verified children's surgery center. Recently, from, it seems like not that long ago, but it was already almost a year, back in December of 2017. So my goal for today is to help those in the room really understand what this role looks like during the process of onboarding your site through verification, and then at the end sustaining a robust quality program. So ideally, a lot of the collaborative relationships with your perioperative leadership are crucial to this, and it's essential that you work with your team to identify these issues and then move forward. So talking about how did I get here, I thought it'd be a little helpful for you to have background on who I am and how I started. I came into this role, I was a registered nurse for about 10 years when I took this on, and I started my career at Mott. So I'd been there for a long time, and I was obviously very passionate about taking care of kids. I was an OR nurse for over 10 years, and I was also in the role of an educator, and I often first assisted a lot of the surgeons. I was scrubbing, circulating a lot of cases with them, so I was already very familiar with a lot of the people that I worked with, and I found that extremely helpful when I came into this role. After that 10-year period, I went back to school and I got my master's degree in nursing with a focus in clinical leadership. And I know a lot of people were debating, does this require a master's, does this not require a master's? I found a lot of the information that I obtained in my program to help me with this role in the development phase. So looking at this picture, your program manager will wear many hats in their role. And some may not always fit quite right, but if they're persistent, it'll work. So the whole goal of this position is to force the entire OR theater, essentially, including all the surgeons, the nurses, the techs, everybody involved, to come together and perform meaningful quality improvement work. It's not just delegated to one individual person. I think about where we were before this role was created and before our PIPS program was started, and to where we are now, and it's drastically changed the way we take care of our kids. So moving on to some of the responsibilities, there are also multiple responsibilities of your program manager. And a lot of times you will find that they feel very overwhelmed and like they can't put one more thing on their plate. But again, persistence and dedication go a long way. Specific to our site, some of my responsibilities include oversight of our NISQIP program and the data abstraction personnel, all of the Appendix 2 data abstraction and validation, so preliminary validation before it goes on to higher levels. Thorough review of all of our patient safety events, identification and coordination, and active participation in all of our performance improvement initiatives. And I also represent our site in multiple committees, both internally and externally, to ensure consistency and that the appropriate follow-ups occur. So if you're looking at your journey, where do you start? The biggest role by far that your program manager will fill is leading your site through the verification journey. And they'll likely find this very overwhelming at first and hard to visualize your endpoint. So I think back to 2 years ago when we first started this process, and I was at my first ACS Quality and Safety Conference, and hearing all of these pilot sites give amazing talks on how they started their verification, some of the hurdles that they were able to overcome and enhance their programs. And I left that day feeling incredibly overwhelmed. And how in the world would we ever accomplish this? We didn't have a lot of these things in place, but it is possible. So if you're talking to your program managers after they're hired and you're asking, where do we start? First, read the application, obviously. And I'll remind those in the room, I came into this role again with about 10 years experience. So I already had a lot of knowledge about our complex healthcare system, and that was a huge advantage to us. And I was also knowledgeable about the policies, procedures, and even some of the different personalities that we encountered along the way. For the areas I wasn't comfortable with, I spent time with frontline staff on the units, so PICU, NICU were some of my weaknesses. I shadowed the staff, I attended a lot of their meetings, and this was immensely helpful in understanding what our care environment looked like on a day-to-day basis and really how we took care of our patients. So your team, the team, the team. This is a famous quote from our legendary U of M football coach, Bo Schembechler, who is all about the team, and I'll reiterate, this process is no different. It's definitely not a one-person job. You need all of your team members engaged. Filling out our actual application was a very long process. It took us about 2 months to complete this, and organization was crucial. So I had every individual question, and then the questions within a question, broken out and outlined into what turned out to be a very large three-ring binder. But this immensely helped our team identify all of the low-hanging fruit first, and then to have a more focused review on those questions that we really weren't sure how to answer, go back and reference some more, or ask the team to clarify for us. So after your application is complete, you've submitted it, you've been granted a site visit, you're on to the next step, and you'll immediately begin time preparation for your site visit groundwork, which is essential, another role of your program manager. You must be organized to get this done. There's a lot of on-site requirements that, again, filled another huge binder. There's also all the tables you have to fill out and have available for review. And there's a lot of other little tasks with the chart review that have to be completed as well. So I cannot reiterate enough, you must be organized to take this on. Like John had mentioned, we did a little hospital roadshow. So him and I went around to multiple sites, including some of our outpatient surgery center sites, our eye center, to make sure that those units and departments really understood what this program was about and how it would impact and improve care for children. And it also gave them the opportunity to ask questions of us and to help clarify any points that we thought might be of dialogue at the site visit. So your big day has arrived. You have 24 hours over the course of 2 days to really exemplify and demonstrate what you've written in your application. It's also the opportunity to explain any areas that you want to pursue or your survey team pursues. And again, just make sure you are absolutely organized, even down to the little details like providing maps of your hospital, where to find the bathroom, where to find food, all of those things I really thought helped contribute to a very seamless visit on the day of. So after that, you can take a deep breath, your site visit's over, but now what? You may think you're gonna have some free time, but actually you don't. Your program manager will immediately start prepping and getting ready to do some program maintenance. So any areas that were identified at your exit interview for follow-up or that need to be clarified, might be potential deficiencies in your report, you can immediately start working on those. But I would just reiterate that it's not a criticism of your site. It's definitely supposed to be taken as a learning opportunity. And for us, it was huge. We had all of our executive leadership in the room to hear the comments from our survey team. And that really helped give us the bandwidth and support to take action on some of these initiatives and make the change that really needed to occur to do the right thing for the care of children. So this was our structure. It still is our structure with a couple tweaks in there. Like John mentioned, he's no longer the surgeon in chief. But these were the FTEs dedicated to our program and pretty much still are. So you can see that it's minimal, but that's okay. I wouldn't say that I'm the super program manager, but again, if you're organized and you're persistent and you're dedicated, you can definitely get this done. Depending on the size of your center and how many resources you have allocated, obviously more is better, but we know that's not the ideal state. And for a lot of programs that are just starting in the initiation phase, you may not have many resources at all, but it's possible to get this done with your team. You've already seen our quality and safety structure. The main point that I wanted to highlight here was our ORD brief form. This was something that our surveyors were actually quite impressed with when we spoke with them afterwards. So the purpose of the ORD brief, again, it's a pre-populated form that is not part of the medical record. It's initiated during sign-out of, it's triggered by the anesthesia function when they hit the sign-out button. So it pops up onto our electronic whiteboard in the OR, and the team can have dialogue about all these aspects of care. So if there was instrumentation issues, equipment issues, any patient safety issues, we're starting to track our antibiotic timing. So there's a discussion point on any antibiotic delays and if the patient got the right antibiotic at the right time, if there's any count issues, any missing items, any follow-up, and specimens is also, we had a couple safety events where specimens were actually lost. So one of the biggest points is that the specimen, so you have a little mini timeout on what the disposition of the specimen is and how it's leaving the OR, which we found extremely helpful. and everyone participates. So it's an open dialogue, it's transparent discussion, it's not to, you know, point the finger and blame anybody in the room, but we've thought it's really helped to improve our culture as well, so that everyone's hearing the same information at the same time before you're leaving the room. And it also gives the opportunity for the team to pre-brief on the next patient. So again, if there's any special instruments or equipment that's needed, this is the opportunity for the team to have that dialogue. So looking at our surgical quality event review team, our SQRT team, and we did steal this acronym shamelessly from Wisconsin Children's, so thank you for that. But very early on in our application process, we realized that we had a lot of safety events, a lot of quality events, that our PIPS team was not able to thoroughly review with such a large, diverse group. So we created this subset, which is our surgical quality event review team, and it's the group's purpose is to really strengthen efforts and provide a safety culture as the necessary driver to prevent harm to our patients. So this group meets monthly, and we are charged, like John mentioned, with reviewing all patient safety events that happen in the perioperative area, and then also advancing the scope to 48 hours post-op or any issues with surgical patients throughout their journey. So while they're within the four walls of our hospital, they're within our scope. There are, for our center, about 150 events a month, but we preliminary review them and we get down to about 40 that the group actually looks at. So we also score. We use the HPI scoring methodology that's consistent with our healthcare system to use the serious safety event classification, which was made available to us by the Solutions for Patient Safety as part of their Culture Wave work. So as a group, we're also responsible for doing root cause analysis. So any events that we deem serious safety events which with a likelihood for recurrence, we have a subgroup that forms to look at the root cause of the problem, any proximal causes, and we take on any action items that need to be developed. So as the program manager, I'm responsible for facilitating this meeting. So I do all the collecting of the events monthly. We pull them into a report, and it's sent out in advance to our group so that they have the opportunity to review and bring insight back. And the people at the table that's critical to this, the success of this team, to increase the transparency and awareness of these events. So our actual chief medical officer for the healthcare system at the Children's Hospital leads this effort. He sits at the table with us every month. We also have our surgeon in chief, our director for surgical quality and safety, our chief of children's anesthesia, myself, and then we also have representatives from pediatric general surgery, neurosurgery, and orthopedic surgery, because that's usually the largest volume of the events that we see, and also our OR director and our PACU director are there as well. So it's really a local leadership effort, and then we kind of expand the scope if there's any action or follow-up needed. So again, as John mentioned, communication continues to be one of our biggest challenges. So we're doing all this great work with event investigation, identification, but how do you get the message back to the people that matter the most, the people that are doing the work day in and day out? And we've struggled with this, and we continue to learn and evaluate what our methods are. So as you can see here in this picture, we have a couple highlight boards that are put out right inside the hallway of the perioperative area, very high traffic area for staff, so they can see all of our quality metrics. We also display a patient story every month related to an event that we've reviewed to really drive that and hit home with the people that are taking care of these patients to let them know we are still doing things we could improve upon, and here's an example. And we've also gone a step further to include some scrub sink propaganda where we highlight important messages. So when you're doing that 5-minute initial scrub of the day, you can have something pleasant to read. And right now the message of the month is get your flu shot. So it could be anything, but we've also taken advantage of talking about some of our safety events this way. And we use this a lot during leading up to our site visit to really get the message back to people of what to expect and what questions might be asked of them during the process. So some of the program updates before I finish up. One of the things I was asked to touch upon are the CME credits. So this was a huge effort as one of the first sites outside of the pilot program. We were required to provide CME documentation for all of our surgical and medical specialists, which tipped the scales about 700 people. So this was a huge task, and it took me a long time. But it also uncovered something very valuable. We found out that our central repository was not being updated, which was also a performance improvement. We identified it, and we were going to fix it. So it was helpful in the end, but it was also a huge task. So now, looking at the new requirements that were released, you only have to provide CME documentation, so it's 16 hours annually or 48 hours over the three-year period for all of your PIPS liaisons, your medical director, and your director of anesthesia. And then there's also separate requirements for the alternative pathway, but those standards and changes have gone out. So in summary, I'd like to thank everyone in the room and to the college for allowing me this opportunity. But if you just remember that the college has really provided you a very strong platform here to build or enhance your surgical quality program, and it's difficult to really stress the amplitude and the significance of this position, but it's essentially your program manager will be your facilitator and ensure that the things your hospital has in place meet the standards, and if they don't, to follow up, investigate why, and then escalate to the appropriate personnel for follow-up. So I'd just like to say thank you for having me today. And this is one of the quotes that's adhered to our safety huddle wall. So we have twice a day, we have a building-wide safety huddle with representatives from every unit, including environmental services, laundry, and it's courtesy of SPS, but it's keep me safe, heal me, and be nice to me. And we firmly believe that you keep those three things in mind. They may seem like simple tasks day in and day out, but you keep those in mind and you'll be doing the right thing for your patients at the end of the day. So thank you very much, and happy to take questions at the end.